Behind the Badge Illinois, giving you the inside scoop on public safety and those who protect and serve. Your real stories directly from law enforcement experts and get a chance to ask questions about issues you've always wanted to know more about. You have the right to remain informed. This is Behind the Badge Illinois.
I'd like to welcome everybody to this week's episode of Behind the Badge Illinois. I'm David Hochberg, your host. Let's go around the horn here. Start with you, Chief Johnson, down south in southern Illinois.
Yeah, Steve Johnson, Chief of Fairview Heights, Illinois, the greatest city in the South.
There you go, greatest city in the South.
Why are you laughing, Lou?
You make me laugh. I don't know why. I see your face and I'm just laughing. It's nothing personal. You just make me laugh.
That's not a good thing if somebody just looks at your face and starts laughing.
No, he brings me joy.
That's awesome.
That's what it is.
Chief Bird, you're next. You're up.
All right. Hey, Chief David Bird here coming from the great city of DeKalb. And hey, I look out the window and it's sunny out. So looks like we might hit 50 degrees today, guys. So what's today? February 8th? And we're talking about 50 degree weather, man. So I guess global warming is a thing. So
life is good.
It's going to have a blizzard next week. Thanks.
Yep, for sure it's coming.
We better knock out some wood.
Nice job. All right, Chief Jogman, Highland Park.
Yeah, Chief Lou Jogman, Highland Park, Illinois. I would have to, if I did not say the greatest city up north, I'd be remiss. Up here on the North Shore.
All right. And AJ.
Deputy Director for the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. I'm AJ Bailey. I am representing Central Illinois over here in Springfield, which we're supposed to get about a high of 60 degrees. So
I'm on my way.
Bring out the shorts.
All right. And I'm your host, David Hochberg. I'm a mortgage professional, also sponsor this fine podcast. If you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your existing home, give me a call, 855-56-DAVID. Go to 56david.com. And for anybody listening who's interested in sponsoring this podcast, you could call that same number and say, I'm interested in sponsoring the podcast. So let's jump off. Last week, we kind of did the introductions and we talked about recruiting and the challenges that all of the agencies are having throughout the United States in recruiting. And we were going to try to touch on retention, but we ran out of time. So this week, I want to throw it out to you guys. Retention, what you're doing, what ILACP is doing to support the chiefs to help them retain their officers. We're also going to cover safety, right? What safety means in your different areas. I know Luth sent me something, Living in the Yellow. So talk about different parts of Illinois, what your strategies are. And if we have time, we'll talk about how your departments are set up. Chief Johnson in Southern Illinois has got different needs and different focus than Chief Bird and Chief Jogman up in DeKalb and Highland Park, respectfully. So if we have time for that, we will cover that. If we don't, that'll be our first topic for the next podcast next week. And we're going to end with Chief Bird came up with a great idea each week to come up with a funny police story. So we're going to put the spotlight and pressure on him to make sure it is funny. And it's not just because you think it's funny. We'll see how funny that everybody else thinks. So let's start with retention. Okay. We know recruitment's tough. How tough is it after you recruit guys to retain the officers that you have? I'll throw it out to Chief Johnson, Southern Illinois. Go, Steve.
You know, when most of us, all the chiefs that are here, started out, everybody stayed at a department for 30 years before they even thought about moving somewhere else. Well, now it's totally different. It's so easy to move from department to department. And not only that, during police reform, there's a lot of police officers that are, you know what, if I do it the right way and I follow Illinois and U.S. Supreme Court decisions, I could still get fired and I could still have a protest at my house. I don't know that I want to be in law enforcement anymore. And you've seen some places nationwide where law enforcement officers have been disciplined, fired, even charged with crimes because someone jumped ahead with the full investigation wasn't complete, and they're later exonerated and they get their job back, but they're already done by then. They're like, you know, I don't know that I want to do this anymore and go through that all over again. I think one of the biggest things for Illinois chiefs is showing our officers that as long as you do it the right way, as long as you follow procedure, Supreme Court rules, as long as you do it the right way, we are going to support you 100%. And that is, you know, a company that I teach for, we did a nationwide Gallup poll and asked over 800,000 officers one question. And we said, what is the biggest problem in law enforcement? And I really thought the number one answer was going to be people trying to kill us or low pay or our hours. The number one answer was crappy leadership. Wow. And me as a leader, I'm like, oh, I better look within myself. So I think part of it is developing a culture. Number one, developing an organizational culture of constant improvement and showing your officers that you support them when they do it the right way. Now, our job is also to give them the pay, the resources, the equipment, all of these things that they need. I'll just be honest, at my department, and this, some people are going to laugh about this, we have a room, and I didn't design it, it was before me. We have a room that has one of those vibrating chairs in it, and it's called our recovery room. And our officers that work overnight, and they get off at 6 in the morning, and they got court at 8 a.m., if you go home, you ain't waking up. It ain't going to happen. So they go into this room, and they relax, and we set an alarm, and we go in and wake them up. Or some of our younger officers that are having babies left and right. By the way, don't drink the water at our department. We have like 5 pregnant people here right now. They have all these babies and they're up all day, all night. They don't get the sleep that they need. And at 3 in the morning, they're dead tired. Well, I don't want them to wreck a car. I'd rather them come in for 20 minutes. Right. And when I tell my officers this, they're shocked that we support them that much and show them how important it is. Now, I can monopolize the whole hour, but I'll just say this. What we also do is we have, they can work out on duty. If they work out off duty and they log those hours, they can get up to 20 hours off a year. Wow. Based upon body fat that is lost and muscle gained and those types of things. We also have 100% free 4 times a year counseling sessions that they can go to. You know, I mean, I had some officers that delivered a baby yesterday in the middle of a field, a homeless couple. And that, you know, you can feel different about how life is and how things go. And depending upon the health of the baby and all that, sometimes you need to talk to someone. And if the officers go to 4 of these sessions a year, they get a free day off. And so there's all these extra things that we're doing to set culture. And that's what I think is really important, a culture of we support you, do it the right way, and we are going to be there for you.
Well, thanks, Steve. And that's our episode of Behind the Badge, Illinois number 2.
Mic drop.
Right. You're great points, though.
Good points. Vibrating chair. I you had me a vibrating chair.
I got to get one of those. I got to use it at home. I want one of those
in the office. 100%. That's right. It takes quarters, though. No.
that's how you're making your budget. You're getting those quarters back. So,
my next podcast.
You're going to the bank with a bag of quarters.
The next podcast, I'm doing it from the chair.
There you go.
I like it.
While it's vibrating. That's even better.
You can shake it.
I like to see Chief Bird and Chief Jogman go to City Council in DeKalb and Highland Park respectfully and say, yeah, we like a couple of vibrating chairs.
It wouldn't go over well.
It's a great idea, though. It's a great idea, and it definitely shows your troops that you know you got.
That's right.
Yeah, it worked.
How did you get the city on board with the vibrating chair, Chief Johnson?
Oh, we didn't tell him.
then don't tell about this podcast either.
Is this going to be broadcast?
Nobody knows about it. Yeah.
Dad is out of the bag.
We'll totally edit this out. We got your back. So let's go up to DeKalb. So Chief Bird, what are you guys doing up there and the leadership team doing up there. You heard what Chief Johnson's doing down in Southern Illinois.
Yeah.
What type of similarities and differences are you doing up in DeKalb?
You know what? A lot of similarities. I mean, retention is huge. Like, you know, like Chief said, at the end of the day, my thing for me is, you know, of course, I want people to stay here. But I've always been of the belief, and this is just my own personal opinion, I'm never going to be somewhere that I'm not wanted, right? I don't care what it is. Relationships, across the board. If you don't want me, I'm not there, believe me. And I understand that concept. So here in DeKalb, one of the things that we do as well, we have a reimbursement for, you know, for gym memberships, same type thing. You go to the gym, all you got to do, you can have multiple gym memberships, different places. You put that in, we'll reimburse you for that. So it encourages guys to work out and be fit. Being fit is a big part of their job, and they should, you know, and it also has a lot to do with their mental makeup as well. You know I feel better when I go to the gym. So when I come out of gym, I feel totally different on days when I miss. I do. I'm just, you know, I know that to be true. So we encourage that. So one of the other things that I do is that I have several committees, subcommittees here within the department. I believe, and I want them to have a sense of belonging, and I let them co-create. So what I mean by that is that, you know, hey, look, you're going to help me build this. It's not going to be my way or the highway. That's just never been my stance. And any leadership position I've ever had, even with ISP, I always ask their opinion. And I truly mean it when I ask, what do you think about this? And I think that goes a long way, at least here at DeKalb PD, at least from what I have heard from the officers. They said, Chief, the fact that you bring us in and ask us what we really think, and in a lot of, I'll be honest with you, the majority of the cases, I implement some of their suggestions. So it's not just lip service. I'm not blowing smoke. They actually tell me something and we actually implement it. So that means they have a piece of the pie. So that's why they want to be here. One of the things I also do, and this is just, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but ever since I've been here, anytime there's been a birth, a baby, I send a box of diapers to the house. And what it does is it just really shows them that I give a shit. I'm sorry about the, you know, I mean,
they care.
Yeah, I care. So, and I think that's important, especially I got a letter from a, not from the officer, from the officer's wife. And she said, Chief, I can't believe you sent me a box of diapers. You know, you don't know me. And she's right. I never met her. But I wanted to show her that I care. So, and it meant a lot to me. And I want to be a part of your joy, right? So whatever that might be, you know, and it's in my position, that's probably about the most I can do. Heck, I can come change some diapers if you want, but I mean, you know, I'm pretty good at it. I mean, I've had my practice, but I felt like if I do something and show them how much I care, you know, hopefully these type of things, this atmosphere that I'm building, this atmosphere of belonging, everyone has say, the co-creating piece. The fact that, you know, I show that I care, I take them on. I planned several outings. We went to the Cubs game, went to the White Sox game last year. We just went to the Ice Hogs game as a group. I pay for movies. We have movie nights here at the DeKalb Police Department. All they have to do is show up. Like the ticket's free. A lot of times they bring their wives. I'm like, yeah, this could be a date night for you. And it's on me. And I want them to come and enjoy themselves as a group. So I'm doing those type of things. I'm trying to build a family atmosphere here so that will help me retain the officers that I have. And so far, is working extremely well. So that's just some of the things that I'm doing in DeKalb.
All right, Chief Johnson, no pressure here. You got two outstanding retention programs just announced. You got a chair down in Southern Illinois. You got diaper delivery up in DeKalb. And
yeah.
And you're sitting there going, damn, I'm behind the eight ball here, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I certainly am. I do think it's probably for Steve down where he's at. If he was doing diaper delivery, he'd break the bank, it sounds like, with everybody that's having. So I think that speaks to fit, and every organization is going to have something a little bit different to try to do the retention. But again, this retention piece is important. I mean, we talked about recruitment last podcast, and we talked about how challenging it is to get people through the door. But to be honest, you can't out-recruit a retention problem. I mean, if you got people leaving more and more, clearly it's you can see the cycle, and trying to recruit people to replace people who've been trained over 15, 20 years with all that experience and bring new people in. So for our listeners, I mean, why is this important to you? I mean, again, it just not having properly trained and committed in officers who are filling these positions, you know, causes a public safety issue. I mean, we're going to run short staffed, and we're losing experienced people. So as leaders in law enforcement, I mean, it is incumbent upon us to do whatever we can within reason to try to retain people here and keep them in law enforcement. And we are fighting the external challenges that were mentioned earlier by Chief Johnson, and we can never control all of those. Public sentiment always shifts. You know, there are different circumstances in our history where, you know, there's a tremendous support for public safety, and then things happen, and then that public safety support is maybe not as strong. And so we've got to find ways to keep our people going through it. Vibrating chairs are fantastic. Building that culture that Chief Bird's doing, I totally support that. I think our new generation of workers across the board doesn't just have to be in law enforcement, just have different expectations than we did, clearly. It's a different cohort, different group of people raised differently. And you can see that they absolutely want to be part of the decision-making process where they can be, have input. They feel much value in that. And if you're an older generation person and you've got a newer generation person ask you questions like, why are we doing that? I mean, to be honest, when I walked in, I never asked my sergeant or lieutenant, yeah, why? Why do I have to do that? But a simple answer and just understanding the new culture, will ensure that they feel comfortable in the organization. They aren't trying to do it to be difficult. That's just what they're asking. Well, why? Why do we do it this way? And to Chief Bird's point, I do something very, very similar here. We have a concept that we've developed called Ask, Discuss, and Follow Through, ADF. And this, I feel like, is really a winning formula for any industry or any business. People want to be heard. They want to have input. They're working in an organization. They want to have their fingerprints on it. They have great ideas. If you're talking about new technology or new things like AI, for instance, you know, my 20-year veterans don't know what AI even means, but you've got somebody on for the last year or two, they have a good idea and appreciation of things in the technology world that you would never know. So they bring something to the table. So we do Ask, Discuss. So on any topic that we're trying to deal with here in Highland Park, we do. We've got two groups that get together. They're team groups made up of different people from different divisions. We give them an issue or tackle a problem. They go back, tear it apart. They meet regularly. They come back with suggestions, recommendations. And like Chief Bird, we implement the vast majority of them because they come up with really, really good ideas. They feel valued. They feel part of the organization. And they're wanting to stick around because they're leaving their fingerprints on the organization. We've seen that money isn't necessarily a driver. Hey, everybody wants to be paid more, and it definitely helps, doesn't hurt. But it's just finding what works for you and for your group of men and women. And there's no shortage of great ideas out there. But whatever we're doing, we just have to keep working on this retention piece to make sure we're keeping people who've got experience and really understand the job, because they're the folks that the newer crew is going to be leaning on out there.
Let me just throw this out to you. I'll throw it to AJ next about, you know, what the ILACP is doing to help the chiefs, but how important, and this just came to my mind, so I just want to throw it out there. How important is it, do you guys think, for the communities that you serve to make that a focus so the community does something to show appreciation for the officers as well? You know, like, do local businesses do something, you know, for the officers? Does that go a long way? You know, putting a sign up at the bank, thank you, PD, or you know, have a discount on Fridays, or maybe the local movie theater, like, you know, like Chief Byrd did. Hey, all first responders get, you know, BOGO, buy one, get one free, or something like that. How do you guys feel? And I didn't mean not to throw it to you, AJ, but if I didn't say it, I'd lose it. And I thought it was important to capitalize on this while we're talking about it. How important is it? And does your local community, do your local communities buy into it? And I'll start with Chief Johnson. We'll go around, then we'll throw it to AJ to get the comments what the ILACP is doing to support local chiefs. But how important is it, and what can you do to get your local communities, if they're not already involved, or what your local community is doing to help you retain those officers that you desperately need to retain?
So I think it's interesting that my department, we're about 25 minutes away from Ferguson, you know, kind of the ground zero of police reform, if you will, in a way. And a rare day goes by that my break room isn't filled with food that people drop off for us. Now, because a lot of them we don't know what's in it. We walk it down to the fire department and let them first. But it's amazing, you know, what you watch. I know this unequivocally. If you watch the news media and you listen to some politicians, that is not the feeling of the average American citizen. They truly do support local law enforcement in an enormous way. And, you know, I right before this podcast, I had a meeting with about 12 clergy in my city. And at the end of it, when I'm trying to get out of there and rush to be here on time, at the end of it, every one of them came up and said, "Hey, I really want to honor your officers. Could we have an awards night, or could we drop off food, or could we?" It's just constant in a great, great way. The tough part in so many ways is, as law enforcement, we got to be careful. Like, I don't really like when I go into a gas station, the soda is free or half off, because I'd much rather pay for it. I don't want to feel like I owe them something. But there's so many times you're sitting at a restaurant and you get up and someone anonymously paid for your lunch.
That's right.
Which is the reason. Which is the reason I wear a uniform every day. The only. But it is so true. I guess untrue what the national media says versus the reality in our communities.
All right, Chief Byrd.
Yeah, I agree with, especially, you know, and I'll be honest with you, in DeKalb, he's right. I mean, if I tell you how many times someone comes to the door with cookies, you know, hey, this one lady comes like religiously, you know, clockwork, you can count on. She's bringing cookies for the guys constantly. You know, one of the things I like, you know, I speak to everyone. So, you know, and I get those responses back here in DeKalb, which has been great. I mean, I love the, you know, the fact that, you know, I can say good morning and somebody actually says good morning back. You know, I grew up in, you know, on the south side of Chicago, and I tell this story, and it's unfortunate, but I was driving, I was with the state police still, and I was going to visit my mom. I exited at 79th Street in the Dan Ryan. My mom lives on the south side there. And then, you know, I just came up to the light. I'm in uniform, but I'm in an unmarked vehicle. And a guy just walks across and he just gives me the bird for no reason. He just gives me the bird. Yeah.
The bird. The bird to the bird.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
The bird to David Bird.
I was different like, spelling. Like, you know, I was just like, you know, but, you know, you learn to just kind of like, you know, dust that off. But, you know, that, you know, it does, you know, if people will lie to you, you know, I know a lot of people will say, it doesn't bother you, but it does. I mean, it makes you feel good when somebody gives you a pat on the back or say, hey, you know, we support you. You know, to hear that makes you feel, you know, you just feel that. I mean, it's like you get the warm feeling in your heart, you know, but in the opposite side of it, when they give you the finger or they, you know, they just, you know, F-12 and all this kind of stuff, it makes you feel bad after a while. You hear it so much. So I'm glad to be in a city right now where they actually support the police. And I agree with Chief on this, man. You know, you can't, good luck trying to buy your breakfast. I mean, you have to race to get the bill because somebody in there is going to grab it. And, you know, and they walk out the door, you don't know who they are. You know, I asked the waitress all the time, who did this? And they all, chief, they left 10 minutes ago. I'm like, and you want to thank them, you know, you want to tell them, hey, you didn't have to do that, because I believe in paying it forward. I've always done that myself. And man, it makes you feel so good. When you pay it forward for someone, I'm telling you, I tell my family this, my friends, I was like, man, when you pay it forward, I'm telling, even if it's just McDonald's, yeah, buy somebody coffee, it feels good. So yeah, the support is big, and we get it here in DeKalb. I'll be 100% honest with you, David. We get it here in DeKalb, and we're lucky to have the people here and the residents here in DeKalb.
Chief Jogman, what's going on in Highland Park?
Yeah, I add a quick story real quick? I'm sorry. Sure. You were talking about paying it forward. I went through a Wendy's drive-thru, and someone paid for my chili, which was like $3.42. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to pay for the car behind me. It was $57. I'll never do that again.
And side note, that chili from Wednesdays, two things, perfect container to cold, drive and drink the chili, number one.
Yes.
Number two, the chili is delicious. I just want to throw that. I've had gallons of it.
Dave going for the Wendy's sponsorship over here.
Right. Yeah. Phenomenal.
Chief, next Wendy's time club. You got to check your rearview mirror, man. You got to see who's in the car. If it's a van full of kids, you got to skip that one.
Yeah. Or Chief Jogman. You definitely like, I'm out. Yes. I'll follow
you around everywhere, just hoping to get the free meal. I'll just follow you everywhere. So,
right, what are you guys doing? Hey, you know, how about that community involvement? I know with what you guys experienced, you know, 2 years ago, the 4th of July, it brought that community hand in glove, right? I mean, you guys and the respect and love for first responders is shown every single day. But for the listeners of the podcast that don't know what, you know, Highland Park, explain what happens up there that, you know, the community is giving back to help you retain your officers.
Yeah, everything my colleagues have said is true. You've got to put the work in first. So it's a relationship, right? We can't just ask and expect people to appreciate us. We gotta put that work in every day, go above and beyond in the work we're doing. And we're not gonna make everybody happy. We're in this untenable position in law enforcement where whatever we do, you know, unfortunately, we're gonna use a domestic as an example. We may need to make an arrest there, and we're gonna maybe keep the children safe and the victim safe, but whoever we're arresting, of course, we're not making happy. And so you can use that example for a million things. Traffic enforcement. We go and enforce traffic laws because we're getting called by residents. And then we inevitably pull them over as well because they live in the neighborhood speeding. And we're right. So we're always kind of in that middle. So we've always got to work to earn that trust and to earn the respect and appreciation. And I will say in Highland Park, you know, these officers give really on every call 110%. I can't even imagine the level of service. I've never seen anything like it. We'll get called to, you know, 2 a.m, a 911 call for an elderly gentleman who can't shut his alarm clock off. And we'll go and we'll deal with it and we'll help him. And on that same call, he'll say, hey, do you mind taking my dog out the back? And they do it. And they just do it because it's just, nothing's beneath them. But the work that you put in like that, and I know my colleagues have stories as well, pays off. And when we did have our mass shooting in 2022, all that work really paid off and showed, you know, the relationship that we built with our community. And we all went through that together. And undoubtedly, because of the work before that and the groundwork we laid, you know, we came through it, I think, better than we would have with our community. We were all in it together. So I think to your point, David, you know, buying coffee, buying things, that's very nice. But I agree with Chief Johnson. It's uncomfortable ethically. You really get concerns with that and don't want any appearance of owing people things. So that is, it's really nice of people, but our officers aren't looking for, I don't think, are looking for free meals or free coffee. They are just looking to be understood. And I think that's the key to the extent the public can. And that's what we're doing this podcast for, truly. If an officer does something and people make their generalizations because they've seen it on TV or the news is presented a certain way, that's the worst thing we can do to our officers is misrepresent what they're trying to do out there, especially when it's good work. Unfortunately, because our work is negative, a lot of what we do or have to do enforce laws, it takes that kind of tact. So, you know, the Illinois Chiefs, you know, this 10 shared principles that we talked about early, the first podcast, we'll definitely delve into that a little more. But one of those shared principles of public safety in Illinois that that is really important is number eight. And number eight, the principal says that the public has an obligation to try to understand the work of law enforcement to the best of their ability. Go through a Citizens Police Academy, watch a podcast, whatever. That's what they can do for our officers so that when we have to do something or take action, even though it might look awful. So again, use of force, we always say it's awful, but it's lawful. You know, we have to do it, but it looks terrible. But maybe they won't jump to the conclusion that the officer overdid it because they'll understand a little bit more about how tasers work or why the law allows us to do a certain level. So I think to bring this all home and then certainly get to AJ, but what our public can do for our officers, first, what our officers can do for the public is earn the trust and maintain the trust and do the right thing. We can't, you know, go anywhere without that. But then if the public tries to really pay it forward by learning and appreciating to the extent they can. I'll never learn what a surgeon does exactly, but I can maybe get the gist of it, or an attorney. Or, I'm not doing that job, but if they can actually try to learn, you know, what we're doing and understand it, that means the world to our officers, means the world to them.
I've done your loan four times and you still don't know what I do. So I'll just throw that out there, Lou. So,
You're a veterinarian? Is that
I'm a veterinarian. You have no idea. Okay. A veterinarian that secures financing for so here.
Great niche. Great niche.
Great niche. Yeah. I'll give your dog a colonoscopy and get you into a 30-year fix quicker than anybody else. Don't worry. Same thing. It's all related.
That was a heck of a visual.
Yeah, well, that's what's like working with Lou. But I just wanted to throw it out there that when I'm in Chicago, and I see a copper in his squad, you know, at a stoplight because they've got to be at stoplights now in Chicago to show force, right? Because God forbid they're patrolling now. You got to be in your squad car in the center of Michigan Avenue with your lights on just to show people that you're there, which is kind of ridiculous in and of itself. But that's what CPD does. And if I always roll my window down and just say thank you. You know what I mean? And the cops, they light up, you know, thank me for thanking them, and they appreciate. I was coming out of a Bulls game two nights ago. There was a squad there, you know, just showing force and showing protection. I went up and shook the guy's hand and said, I thank you for what, you know, thank you for your service and everything like that. And the guy went the handshake back. You could tell he appreciated it. So just for the public that's listening out there, you know, you don't have to buy that, you know, the sandwich, the coffee, whatever. Just go up to them, you know, at the restaurant, say, excuse me, thank you for what you do. And that goes a long way. Right, guys?
There's nothing wrong with visibility, too, Dave. I mean, high visibility is a deterrent. I think the more cars you see, you know, people need to see a police officer because sometimes they need to run to them and say, hey, I need you.
Yeah.
I need you now because of A, B, C, and D. So, but I agree with you, Dave. It really isn't, you know, when somebody just comes up to you and say, hey, you know what? I know you got a tough job.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you. You know, and I hear that more often than, you know, I couldn't do your job, you know, because of A, B, C, and D, whatever those factors are. So, I appreciate you doing what you do, Dave. Thank you for going out there and reaching out to those guys, because I guarantee you they probably went the whole day without having one positive interaction in some situation, not all. But you just never know. So you probably made an impact that day, Dave, every time you do that. So thank you for doing it.
No, thank you for what you guys do. So let's throw it over to AJ to learn about what the ILACP is doing to support chiefs like Jogman, Johnson, and Bird throughout the state with retention.
One thing I just have to say, I'm just always in awe, and I love just listening to all of these stories from you guys. So I'm just makes me a fan, as well as I'm lucky to be a part of all of this with you guys. But yeah, appreciation and understanding, it does go a long way. And it's both of those that need to work hand in hand. You know, a simple thank you is great, but you also have to make sure that the officers know that you understand, you know, what's going on. But when it comes to the chiefs, one of our main goals, to get back to the whole retention part of it, is professional development, as well as professional services and support. Those are two of our main goals that we strive to do every single year. And we have a lot of different ways to do that, because I can't remember who said it, but that training and showing improvement and helping the officers improve, that's a good way to keep them, to retain them as well. And so we offer that throughout the year. We've got our e-training. We have got our command leadership scholarships that we go through for the officers who want to improve themselves with their higher education. We even have a mentorship program for those chiefs who are new chiefs anyway, and then we get to a veteran chief, so to speak, to kind of pair with them and walk them through the process so they know what they're doing. So it also helps retain chiefs. We are, of course, more than just chiefs. We do help with other things when it comes to executive searches, and that's the part about recruitment and getting those officers in. And we're working on getting cities, you know, their lieutenants, their deputy chiefs, and their chiefs as well. So we offer that as a service to these cities, so we can try to pair them up with the best chief who does show those great leadership qualities, who does the things like dropping off the diapers and getting the vibrating chairs, which apparently we need to add that to our checklist. So I need to remember to put that on there. Who cares about officer wellness and offering that day off if they go to those counseling sessions and things like that. So we want to try to find those people for these cities. And that's part of what we've tried to do with the recruitment and retention. We offer a lot of different services for it. And just the whole networking and camaraderie when it comes to being a part of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. We try to update everyone. We have legislative advocacy that we do. So if we see a bill that might not be good for the profession, be a good way to retain or recruit officers, we try to step up and say something. If it's a really, really bad bill, we try to do what we can to kill it. If we're unable to do that, we try to do what we can to make it less bad. And try to make it at least a little bit better. And we always try to work with that. And I know that also when it comes to recruitment and retention, Lou and I talked last year when he was president of the association. There was a big grant for recruitment and retention that we tried to work on to get a whole statewide campaign together to really show people what it means to be an officer and how the pride that comes with it and the goodness. So there's a lot of different ways that the chiefs help, and we look forward to continuing to help with recruitment and retention as the years go by.
Once again, we turned a 1 minute segment into a 15 minute segment into a 40 minute segment. So which we're really good at doing, everybody who's tuning in. So I think what we and listen, I'd love diving deep into these topics. I know we want to, our goal was when we set this up, you know, try to cover two or three or four topics into bite size pieces so our listeners could consume it easily. But these topics are way too important not to dive deeper like we have and to get all three of yours perspective and the association's perspective. So I think we should cut it off here for this segment, right? And then pick it up our next podcast with safety, right? What safety means in each of your communities and what you guys are doing and what the chiefs of police are doing, the Illinois Association Chiefs of Police are doing to support the different communities with their safety programs during the next segment and end it on a light note. And by the way, I have to throw this in there because we are paying for and sponsoring. There are sponsorships available of this podcast. If you'd like to come on in with Team Hochberg, if you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your existing home, 855-56-DAVID, 56david.com, all first responders. We take care of you and we give you substantial discounts on your closing costs. We love more sponsors, so call that number and we'll talk to you about sponsorship opportunities. But we want to end with funny police stories. And since it was Chief Bird's idea, we'll put the spotlight on you for a funny police story to end this week's podcast, Chief.
All right. So, man, oh, man. So if you can imagine, I was in a lot of foot pursuits on the west side of Chicago. So, I'm tell you, most of the guys I caught. So I'm going to be honest. Hey, look, back then they didn't get away from Dave Bird. Now if I had to chase him today, might be a different story. I got some young guns downstairs. I'm just going to cut them loose. I'm not going. I'll cut them off for you. You run them down. So, but back then I was the young gun. So when I first came on the job, they used to call me young blood because I was the youngest guy on the shift. You know, I was 22 on midnights. Most of the guys they were in their 30s, you know, so they say, yeah, you know, young blood, young blood, young blood. That's what they call it. So one day I'm following a hot car. I'm on the west side of Chicago. The car gets off at Independence. If you guys know that area, Independence Boulevard, you know, so this is in the 11th district. It's a high crime area. So I'm following the guy. I know the guy's going to bail at some point. So I'm getting ready. I'm on the radio. I'm saying, hey, he's going to bail here. He's cutting corners. He's going through alleys. All of a sudden, the door swings open. Boom. And I'm on his butt. I'm on him. As soon as I knew he was going to bail, so I'm on him. I'm jumping. He's jumping fences. I'm jumping fences. I'm hopping. So as I'm running, I'm losing everything. And when I say everything, everything, my tie came off. I lost all kinds of pieces of equipment were falling off. A pair of handcuffs fell off or whatever. And I'm hopping fences. I'm hopping. So at the time, 11th District CPD are coming. They're responding for my assist call. So they see me running. They see me cross and come through an alley. One of the cars almost hits him, almost hits me. So they like, there he is. So they chase. So now they get involved. So anyway, I run this guy down. I dive on him. I tackle him. So the crazy part is that my buddies who are the wagons, CPD wagons, like 1171, that's their B call. So my buddy, if you guys ever hear this, Stan and John, I love you because these were the guys that worked the wagon back then for CPD. So they're retired now. But anyway, so the way they found me, I was in the back fighting with this guy trying to get him cuffed. So what they ended up doing was tracking all my items. Everything that fell, they picked up everything. Everything that I had dropped, that's how they found me. So by the time they find me, I get, they like, hey, we're going to help you. So we get the guy cuffed. So I'm walking back, to the car, and I feel this draft, man. Like, it's cold. It was a winter night. It had to be like maybe a little bit under. It had to be like 10 degrees. It was cold. But I kept feeling this draft coming through my pants. So I'm walking. I'm like, man, it's got cold, Rook. And then one of the guys, he's like, man, Dave, you ain't got no pants left. And I ripped my pants. This is ISP wool pants. These things are supposed to be impenetrable. Mm-hmm. I mean, and look, they'll cut you when you walk. So I'm like, wait. So I look down and he's right. From the front to the back is completely ripped. All my undies are showing. I'm like, man, I don't have a pair. I don't have a spare pair to put on. I got to go process this guy. I got to go to 11th District and process this guy. So the whole time I'm sitting up there like, okay, what up? So I had a jacket, a lightweight jacket in the trunk. So I end up tying it around my waist while I'm walking through the 11th District doing paperwork. I'm going back and forth. The watch commander's like, Dave, what's going on? I was like, man, I ripped my pants. I don't have a spare pair of pants. I can't go home. I got to process this dude. I was like, this is the only thing I can do. I have to cover it up. I mean, I got nothing on but my underwear. So I spent the whole night going back and forth, walking around with this damn jacket tied to my waist so no one could see my underwear. So that's my funny story, at least one of them, from this foot pursuit that turned into a air conditioner in my pants. So.
I was trying to get the Chariot of Fire theme up, but I'm Googling it. I have no way. I'm not that technologically advanced. I was going to have it play during the background. My only other thought is, thank God it was a Tuesday, because that's when you wore underpants, and all the other day you did. So that was good that the case happened on a Tuesday.
Hey, look, I was a lucky man, but I just it was just amazing because I those pants were so durable, man. If you ever wear those wool pants, man, it's like impossible. I thought they were impossible to tear. I'll be honest with you, but one of those fences must have got me, and I was like, man, and then they all like, I was like, look, man, the job's I got to finish the job. I mean, nobody's going to finish this paperwork. No cop wants to do the paperwork. First of all, right? They'll run the guy down all day. The paperwork they don't want to do. So I'm like, okay, I'm stuck. And I was like, well, I'd rather walk around look like an idiot than have my underwear being seen. So, and look, they were clean. Don't get me wrong. They were clean.
Well, I'll say two things. I'll say, number one, I think the public should know they're lucky to have officers like young Dave Bird. And now we've got other officers that do that kind of work and that are, right, running people down, in dark alleys and over fences. To make sure we're maintaining safety for everybody else. So they're lucky. They're lucky to have young Dave Birds out there. And number two, I think people who listen to this are going to eventually learn that we're a little bit messed up in law enforcement. Things we find funny, I think a lot of people are going to find horrifying, shocking. Yeah. And but the work we do, I mean, when you're drawn to it, you're drawn to it. and you have this passion and things happen. I mean, that's why there are shows, cops and all these other shows, IPD. People are certainly interested in that, but the things you see and do in this business are interesting, and that is
falling. How many times you fall? Right, Lou? Steve, how many times you failed in foot pursuit? Nobody else knew it but you.
Yeah.
You to yourself, because you're like, Jesus Christ, I fell, you know, and I bust my butt. Everybody, you know, and it's just amazing. It was just good to have. Now, thank you to the Wagon. 1171, you are the best. you know, they retrieved everything that I lost, which was great. And I'm always going to appreciate Stan and Big John Chibi. Thank you guys. So
it's safe to say that the ISP wool pants are tough, but they're not CPD 11 district tough.
Evidently not, or at least West Side gated fence is tough.
But see, these are the type of stories that people need to know. It's all about humanizing the badge and changing people, the public's perspective. And even if it's a funny story, and I think it's really worth it to put all the good stories out there. Of course, all the ones about how people pay it forward to officers out there. And how all you want need really is that thank you. And it's those positive stories, those positive interactions that more and more people need to see. And more that since I've been a part of this association, when I've gone on social media, I see all these different departments posting these stories about, wow, we got cookies today. We got popcorn today. Yeah. These people just came up just to say thank you. And they did this amazing thing for us. And I keep seeing these things pop up. And that's what I wish the media would really latch onto and see that and share that and spread those stories, because it means so much. And it means so much to me just seeing that these officers across Illinois are being appreciated. And I love seeing that. So humanizing the badges and changing people's perspective will do wonders for everything, including recruitment and retention.
And that's why we're doing this podcast, right? That's why the Chiefs are signed on. And Mimi signed on. She couldn't make it this week. We will have her back in future weeks to hear her experience as well. But we set up an email for our podcast listeners. It's behindthebadgeil@gmail.com. behindthebadgeil@gmail.com. You know, tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Tell us what you want us, the Chiefs, to talk about during the a future upcoming podcast. We want the feedback, good, bad, and different. And you know, you're going to be hearing this on WGN Radio. You go to WGNradio.com to download podcasts of other shows. I know AJ is going to be working on putting it on some type of YouTube channel, and we'll have more information on that as it develops. But WGN.com podcast, Behind the Badge Illinois, that's where it will be, the audio. And AJ is going to do something with the video so you can see how you know, visually impaired we all are. And yeah, appreciate you guys listening to this segment. And next week's segment will be about public safety and what the Chiefs are doing within their communities to keep everyone safe. Thanks for listening, everybody.